Thank you, Levi.
Thank you very much. All of us owe a tremendous hakar satov to Levi Mastavsky for being Moser Nefesh, the Levi Nefesh on behalf of Kola and Yom Rishon. So a big yeshikoach, big yeshikoach to Levi. On source number one, the Shulchan Aruch says in Tafresh Pehe, Seif Aleph, it's a particular honor as well to share the podium with a distinguished colleague, Rabbi Blech, and to apologize to him in advance that I have to run out right after I'm done. I'm really sorry. Tafresh Pehe Seif Aleph, Rosh Chodesh Ador, Hasamach Lenissen Shechalios B'Shabbos, Korin Parsha Shkolim. So we're familiar with the fact that yesterday was already Parsha Shkolim. We began the first of the four, the Arba Parshios, and this is known, Tafresh Pehe, is the Halachas of Seder Dalet Parshios. So if Rosh Chodesh Ador, which is closer to Nissan, in the case when there are two Adors, we operate with the second Ador. If Rosh Chodesh happens to fall on Shabbos, Korin Parsha Shkolim. Shehu ki siso ad va'asiso ki yor nechoshes. Umaftir vayichros yehoyodo. And umotzi and gimel svarim. If Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbos, we take out three Sefer Torah. Ba'achas kore parshas ha-shavua. U'bishen yishol Rosh Chodesh. U'bishlishi kore maftir beparshas shkolim. So todir she'eno todir todir kodem. So if we have two hosafas to the regular Kriya Satorah, so we'll do Rosh Chodesh first and then we'll do parshas shkolim. Ziv Beis, B'Shabbos Shniya, on the second Shabbos, Motzi and Shnei Svarim. On the second Shabbos of the four Parshios, we take out two Sifrei Torah, Be'echad Korei Parshas HaShavua, U'B'Sheni Korei Zohar Eis Asher Osa Lecha Amalek, U'Maftir Pakadati Eis Asher Osa Amalek. So on the Shabbos, the second Shabbos, which is the Shabbos before Purim, we read the regular Kriya Satorah, and then we take out a second Sefer, and the second Sefer is for Parsha Zohar, Esa Sherosu Lucha Amalek. And the Haftorah also is in keeping with the theme of the Maftir. So if you look at the Magen Avraham on the right-hand side, where it's underlined, the Samach L'Purim, why do we read Parsha Zohar Samach L'Purim? Kedei Lismach Masa Amalek L'Masa Haman. In order to be somech the story of Amalek to the story of Haman, k'mashakasav halavush. So therefore, we juxtapose these two events, and by juxtaposing these two events, we acknowledge the thematic connection between them. Se'if Zayin, Yeshomrim, Shaparsha Zohar, Parshas Paraduma, Chayovim Lekrosa Midor Raisa. So the third of the four Parshios is Parshas Parah. That follows in the next Talacha, the next Seif in the Shulchan Aruch. And then when we come to Seif Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch says that there are those who say that both Parshas Zohar and Parshas Parah are De'oraisa. So we're familiar with Parshas Zohar being De'oraisa, but there's a Shita in the Rishonim quoted in the Shulchan Aruch that Parshas Parah is also De'oraisa. Lefichach, therefore, our interest today is going to be in Parshas Zohar. Lefichach, b'nei ha-yishuvim, she'en lahem minyin, tzrichim lovo l'mokom she'yesh minyin b'shabosos halolu, kedei l'shmoa parshios elu she'heim midoraisa. So first of all, the historical reality was that there were a number of Jewish communities that Taka didn't have minyanim, that they lived in small yishuvim where there were no minyanim, and they operated in small yishuvim without minyanim all the time. However, there were occasions when it was necessary for them to come to a place where there was a minyan, like, for example, on Parshas Zohar and Parshas Parah, because since the Kriya is Doraisa, and you need, it's a Dover Shebekdusha, Kriya Satorah is a Dover Shebekdusha, you need a minyan, so they had to make sure that they would be Mekayim the Mitzvah to hear it with a minyan. We're going to come back to this all the way at the end. The Chayalim at the bottom in number two, in Klal Kuf Nun Dalet, I don't know why it says Klal Nun Gimel on the top if it says Klal Kuf Nun Dalet printed. So the Chai Adam says, Mishenich Nasadar Marbin Besimcha, at the bottom of the first page, source number two, Mishenich Nasadar Marbin Besimcha. B'Shabbos Shalifnei Purim, Korin Parsha Zohar, V'hu mitzvah saseh min ha-Torah lizkor ma'asa Amalek. What's the importance of reading Parsha Zohar? It's a mitzvah saseh to remember what Amalek did. V'lisno oso sin'o kvua b'leiv. And to hate him with a hatred that's established in your heart. So it's not stam a hatred lol, but it's a gishmake gezunta powerful hatred. It's not stam a sinna, but it's a sinna hakavua believe. Ad sheim haya be'efsher limcho soso min ha'olam. Were it possible to erase him from the world, shlo yishar mimenu shum zecher. No zecher whatsoever, bein adam ubehema v'kelav u'metaltalim. Shlo yizacher shmo lomar shezehu me'amoleki. Ad kidei kach is the mitzvah to remember and to hate betachlis ha-hatred, so that would it be conceivable to erase Amalek from the entire world, any shemetz, any shtikala Amalek, we would have an obligation to do so. Kidechsev zocher es asher osa v'chulu timcha zecher Amalek. Mir yeshomer the mitzvah do reiso zu yotz in mashe korin parsha zu b'torah b'seder ha-shavua. After all, where is the parsha of Zohar es asher osa l'cha Amalek? The parsha is at the end of parshas Kisetze. So mehecha teisi, you have to be mekayim to die raisa before Purim. I understand that you want to be somech the story of Amalek to the story of Haman, but maybe you could be mekayim zokti chayodam the kiyam da raisa of zechiras Amalek when it comes to parshas Kisetze in the summertime. The rabbi generally makes an announcement that for those who didn't have in mind, or for those women who weren't in shul and parsha Zohar, to use that as an opportunity to be mekayim the mitzvah. Mikol makom, however, he says that that's not 100%. Kiven she'ein kan heker lozeh. Kiven she'u parsha she'shavua. It's got a slides in and slide out. It's a regular parsha, so you don't give it extra attention because you're just laying it like you're laying the rest of the parsha. So you're not going to focus on it particularly. Therefore, you should dafka do it at a time when it's sort of a yetzer daifin, when we do something unusual, when we take out a second sefer and dafka read that section, so then you can focus on it. That's a hecker. The old, interesting, shaharei mitzvahs tzrichas kavana. Without getting into the whole lumdis, the Chayyadim says you have to have kavana when you mekam the mitzvah, whatever that kavana means. And the fear is that if it's part of the regular parshas Shavua, you're not going to have whatever kavan is necessary because there's no hecker. L'chein yichadu lozeh. Therefore, they focused, they singled it out. L'hasmech kriyas parshas Amalek le'megillah. Shesham kasuv nami mechias Amalek. Shehaman hoya mibnei bonov shel Amalek. Now let's take a look on the next page and just remind ourselves for a moment about the various parshiyos in the Torah that talk about the story of Amalek. So there are two in particular. One is the one that we're talking about in Perek Chafei and Parshas Kisetze, and the other one is the one that we learned just very recently at the end of Parshas Bishalach. Ve'yovah Amalek ve'yilochem em Yisrael berefidim. V'yomer Moshe Yehoshua b'char lano anoshim v'tzei hilochem ba'amolek mochor anochi nitzov arosh ha'givo mateo elokim biyodi. So Amalek is ready to attack. Amalek has attacked. And Moshe tells Yehoshua, go out and fight. V'yas Yehoshua kasher omar lo Moshe lihilochem ba'amolek Moshe aron v'chur olu rosh ha'givo v'ya kasher yore Moshe yodo v'gava Yisrael. So we know the famous Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, that it's not a magic act on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu, but when Moshe lifted up his hands, everybody looked up to Shemayim. So the description of the Maisa of the Melchama, of the battle itself. V'yachlosh Yehoshua baruch Hashem, and Yehoshua was successful. He weakened Amalek v'esam alafi charev. V'yamar Hashem al Moshe, k'sov zo zikarim b'sefer v'sim bazne Yehoshua, kimocho emche zecher Amalek mitachas ha-shamayim. V'even Moshe mizbeach, v'yikar Hashmo Hashem nisi, v'yomer k'yod al keis kom elchama l'Hashem ba'amalek midordor. So I just want to focus on two specific nekudas here in this presentation. And the first is in Pasuk Yudalad, Kimocho Emcha, Ezecher Amalek. And then the last Pasuk, Mulcham Allah Hashem Ba'amalek. So the focus in the Parsha of Vayavo Amalek at the end of Bishalach is a divine focus, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the actor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is engaged, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved, Emcha, and Mulcham Allah Hashem Ba'amalek. Now let's look at the parsha Zachar that we've been talking about at the end of Kisei. It says Zachar asher osa lecha amolek baderech betzeschem yimitzrayim asher korcha baderech vayizanev b'cho kol hanechasholam acharecha va'ato ayev yogea. That prat does not appear in the previous version. V'lo yorei elokim v'haya b'haniach Hashem elokecha lecha mikol evecha misav v'baritz asher Hashem elokecha noisen lecha nachlo l'rishto timche es Zecher Amalek mitachas Hashemayim lo tishkach. So here, it's not emche, it's not on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but timche, it's our obligation. We're going to come back to this as well. One final preliminary source, and that's in Shmuel Aleph, from Perek Tesvav, and that is Vayomer Shmuel el Shaul, where the story of Shaul and Agag comes up, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Ato lech and pasuk gimel, ato lech v'ikiso es amolek v'acharamta meis kol asher lo, v'lo sachmo lo lo v'heimato me'ish ad isha olel ad yonek shor ad se gomol ad chamor. And we know, of course, what happens, that he does it, but he doesn't do it completely, and he captures Agog, but Agog he lets live, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets very angry. Now let's look to the Sefer HaMitzvahs in source number 7. The Sefer HaMitzvahs L'Harambam presents this very, very clearly in two separate mitzvahs. There are two separate mitzvahs that the Rambam devotes to our halacha. Mitzvah Kuf Peches, He Shetzivanu L'Hachris Zera Amalek Bilvad Zecharim U'Nekevos Kitanim U'Gedolim. The totality of Amalek, the old, the young, the men and the women. V'hu Amro Yisaleh Timcha Ezecher Amalek. Ukvar kadam lano, we already have a maimer chazal, gimu mitzvahs nitzdavu b'nei Yisrael b'chnisasan la'aretz. The three things b'nei Yisrael have to do when they come into Eretz Yisrael, limnos lahem melech, livnos beis ha-bechira, and limchos zera amolek, u milchama zu hi milchamas mitzvah. Mitzvah kuf pei tes, hi shetzivanu lizkor masha osa lano amolek, behakdimo lahora lano, when he started up with us, V'lisno also, and our mitzvah is not only lizkor, but to hate him, b'chol eis v'eis, it's a consistent hatred. U'la'orer ha'nefashos b'ma'amorim lihilachem bo, and to arouse people with words to continuously fight against Amalek, u'nezareis ha'am lisno also, and to strengthen the people, to empower the people, to be mechazik, the people to hate him, ad shelo tishkach ha'mitzvah, v'lo techlash sin also, v'techsa mehanafashos amorach hazman. Over the passage of time, after all, it's been a while already since that event happened, so it might dissipate a little bit, it might get a little bit less. No, adarabba, we have to keep on nisorer la'orer hanafashos lezareis ha'am in order to lo techlash sin also, that chas v'shalom, it shouldn't get any weaker over the course of time. V'hu amoro yisala yisbarach, Zachar es asher osa lecha amalek. Yachol buvavcha, kishuomer lo tishka acharei shichich asa lev amur, hamani mekayim zachar, shetehei sin osa beficha. So it would appear that there is a very strong obligation of hatred, and it would appear that this is a difficult mitzvah to try to understand. So the question that I want to deal with today is, what's the issue of Amalek? What's the contemporary issue of Amalek? And does it go against? Is it harsh to the extent that it requires us to have feelings that we normally don't want to feel? We normally don't like to hate people. It's not a nice thing to do to hate people. And now we're told there's a mitzvah to say to hate, and to hate not stam a little hate, but a starker hate. So how do we understand it? And how do we understand it also in the context of the children and the animals and everything that's associated with Amalek? One last source before we begin to try to address this question is the Mechilta de Rabbi Yishmael. So the Mechilta de Rabbi Yishmael says, and this has to do with the last source on the previous page, with source number 6, with David and the Ger Amaleki. So the Ger Amaleki comes and tells David that Shaul is dead, and David gets very upset, and David kills the Ger Amaleki. So the Mechilta, the Rabbi Shmuel says, the first line, she in Yavo Echad Mikal Umas Olam Lizgayer, she Yikabluhu, Ula Amalek, that word somehow got smudged out, Ula Amalek, when Mechaim, the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, Ula Amalek, Ula Beso, Lo Yikabluhu, that you could be mekabel a ger from any nation, mikol umos haolam, but not from Amalek. Shneimer, he quotes this pasuk, the end of the third line: im yavo echad mikol haumos shebaolam leizgayu sheyekabluhu mibeso shel Amalek shelo yekabluhu. In other words, that there's a mitzvah to remember Amalek, there's a mitzvah to hate Amalek, and there is an absolute insistence on maintaining a distance from Amalek, that Amalek could never be zoche to be lehistofev bitzilo shel shechina, to become a ger, to become part of the Jewish people. So the first Gemara I want to show you is, in fact, the Gemara in Yuma Chav Beis, which it's Chav Beis Amid Beis, it's not Chav Gimel Amid Beis. And the Gemara says that Shaul himself apparently asked this question. The question of, you know, like, what do you want? What do you want from anything that's associated with Amalek? I don't understand it. It doesn't seem to be fair. So the pasuk says, Vayarev Banachal, in the context of Shaul, Vayarev Banachal, the end of the second line. So the Gemara interprets, what does it mean, Vayarev Banachal? That they fought in the valley, they contended in the valley. Vayarev Banachal, Zok the Gemara Rav Mani al Iske Nachal. It has to do with the issue of Egla Arufa, the issue of Egla Arufa, which is associated with Nachal. What does that mean? Bishar Sha'amal al Kadosh Baruch Hu l'Shaul. Leich. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Shaul, go ahead and destroy Amalek, we just read the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Gimel, Atol Lech V'Hikiso Es Amalek. Amar, so Shaul said, I don't understand. Uma Nefesh Achas Amra Torah. Havei Egla Arufa, when it comes to one Nefesh, we don't know who killed this Nefesh, and we have a sensitivity to the Nefesh, and we feel a sense of responsibility to this Nefesh. So the halacha is that the Ziknei Ha'ir, of the ear that's closest to where the corpse was found, have to go through a whole expiation ritual, a whole parsha of Egla Rufa. We're so tzehitzt and fatumult about one Nefesh. So if that's the case, call on Nefeshos Halolu, Alachas Kama Vakama, what do you want from Kol HaNefashos Halol? If we're so solicitous and concerned about one nefesh, what do you want from all these nefeshos? Fret Shaul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'im Adam Chata Behema Machata. V'im Gedolim Chata Ketanim Machata. In other words, the very question that we're trying to struggle with apparently was raised by Shaul himself. Yatza Baskol V'omrelo Alti Tzadik Harbe. Don't prava frumkeit, don't prava whatever you want to prava. This is it, this is what you have to do, and this is your obligation. So what I'm going to do is, based on the sources that I put at the very beginning, if you look at the very top of the first page, there are five articles here. Additional sources, five articles for you to look up, and that I used to put together this shiur. And, you know, v'idach perusha hizil gemar. You know, we can only touch the k'tzei ha-mazleig, and there's clearly a great amount of material on this, and it's worthy of analysis. And there are four Hebrew articles, and then there's actually a very important article in the Harvard Theological Review of 1994 on this issue, which really puts together a lot of the material. So now let's take a look at the Ramban. Now, at the end of the day, or at the end of this year, this either may be useful for you, or the question may still be a real question for you. So if it's useful for you, so that's wonderful. If it's only partially useful for you, then go look up the rest of the Makoros and see if you could do a better job. So the Ramban, in his Perish on Beshalach, in Shmos Yud Zayin, makes a very important point. And the Ramban says that the issue of Amalek was not that they rebelled against the Jewish people, but they rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That here we're talking about something on a different magnitude. It's not somebody or a nation that decided to gang up on the Jews, so they ganged up on us, so Memela, we have a chiv and an obligation to remember them, Atzof Kol Hadoros, and not just remember them, but hate them. But their sin was much more egregious. And their sin was not so much against us as it was against the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Once you sin against the Kaddish Baruch Hu, then already you're on an entirely different level. V'tam ha'onesh, middle of the third line, shenena shamolek yoser mikol ha'amin, why is it that Amalek was punished more than any other nation? V'avur ki kol ha'amin shamu v'ir gazon, etc. But they were namogu mipnei pachad Hashem u'mei hadar ga'ono. All the other nations knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was protecting the Jewish people, and therefore they backed off. Therefore they didn't want to start up with the Jews, because they saw the Jews as a nation that had a specially close relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they melted away mipnei pachad Hashem u'mei hadar ga'ono. However, Amalek ba'a mimercha kimizgaber al Hashem. Remember, one of the psukim we read earlier was V'lo Yorei Elokim. What was the din in Amalek? The din in Amalek wasn't just that it attacked the Jewish people, but it was V'lo Yorei Elokim. Once it's V'lo Yorei Elokim, then the level of magnitude is totally expanded, and the response is therefore much more intense. The second mahalach is from the Abarbanel and Dvarim. There's a long arichas, Kedarko Bakaydish, the Abarbanel here just goes on. And I extrapolated just a little piece from the Abarbanel that also is an attempt to try to struggle to understand the particular vituperative negativism that Chazal and Doraisa, the Torah, require us to express against this particular people. So the Abarbanel has actually a fourfold mahalach. V'hine resham b'ma she'asa Amalek aba'a devarim agunim. And I xerox just a couple, and we'll see maybe one or two. So the first one that the Abarbanel says is that she'nilcham imahem mibli siba, that there was no reason for Amalek to start up with the Jewish people. It's not just them trying to start a war. There are rules of warfare. There's a certain etiquette of warfare, and you're only supposed to go to war, if you're going to go to war, for a number of what seem to be sort of accepted reasons. And this didn't fit into any of those categories. Kihine halochamim, normally when you go to fight, tzigazun, nachamot tzigazun, mehem sheyasu milchamosehem kineged ha'ayivim haboam aleim, lokachas es artsam ulekavshon. So Yilchamu Lihinatzel Mehem. Namely, it's a defensive war. You want to capture my land, so I'm going to go fight against you, so you shouldn't capture my land. So that's one way to go fight. Umehem, in the second way, is Sheyechu Lichbosh Arzos Goyim Ashalolohem. V'alzei Yilchamu. It's an offensive battle. I want your territory, so I'm going to go in and take your territory. It seems like it's a little bit less of a defensible approach. But nevertheless, people go to war for those reasons, either defensively or offensively. But Amalek, Zakti Abarbanel, is nishtahin and nishtaher. Neither of these apply to Amalek. The Jews weren't attacking Amalek, and it's not like the Jews had a shtickle of land that Amalek wanted to conquer. They were in the middle of the desert. So neither of the two normal, sort of, quote, accepted impetuses for war were relevant here. Second of all, Vahabez, he says, is that they play dirty. That Amalek play dirty. Even when you go to war, so there's a certain etiquette for warfare. Namely, you have to send a letter to the enemy and say, Kindalach, how did I say, when I was a kid, there was a phrase called, put up your dukes. What should I put up your dukes? Put up your dukes is, I'm coming to get you, you know, get ready to fight. So you have to sort of warn the other person. You can't just sneak up on them, you have to warn them. You have to tell them you're coming. You shouldn't be coming in the first place. Okay, but if you're going, you have to tell them that you're coming. Zot Yabarbanel, Beis, She'im heyos, Miminag hamalochem kifi amala, She'kodem bo'em lehilochem ba'amachar, Yodiyu lo'eveyem biyasam. Before you go to fight, you let them know you're coming. V'yomer lehem, Hachinu kli melcham techem. Put up your dukes. Ki hinini bo lehilochem eschem. However, skip two lines. Hine amalek lo'asakein, avo bo, V'ilochem bepesa pisom v'zeh asher korcha baderech rotzulomer b'mikre pisom b'li sheyoir b'chadover, without telling anybody, without informing anybody, they just let him have. So there was something particularly improper about the way Amalek fought. Reb Joshua Fall Hirsch, really Kedarkai also, tries to develop this in a much broader sense. Shanshufal here says that the ikir thing to remember is not Amalek. It's not Amalek per se, but it's I don't know how to say it in English, Amalekhood. Amalekness is the issue. It's not Amalek per se, but it's the behavior of Amalek. It's sort of the mahaloch of Amalek that has to be remembered and not forgotten and has to be totally removed. Es timche, it doesn't say timche es Amalek, it says timche es zecher Amalek. So Rav Shashofal here says as follows, in source number 12. This is on Perish HaLaTorah Shmos Yud Zayin Yud Dalet. Perish HaLaTorah Shmos Yud Zayin Yud Dalet. It is not Amalek who was so pernicious for the moral future of mankind, but Zecher Amalek, the glorifying of the memory of Amalek, which is the danger. So long as the annals of humanity cover the memory of the heroes of the sword with glory, in other words, as long as human beings look upon people who fight in battle as being exalted, as long as you look up to them and say, wow, they're really special, they're really stark, they're really something important, we glorify people who are heroes of the sword. So long as those that throttle and murder the happiness of mankind are not buried in oblivion, so long will each successive generation look up in worship to these great ones of violence and force. In other words, people will look up to them. People will want to be like them. People will, he continues, and their memory will awaken desire to emulate these heroes and acquire equal glory by equal violence and force. So as long as the Zecher of Amalek is still extant, the danger is people will try to emulate Amalek. As long as the Zecher is extant, it means it's a Zecher worth remembering. So it means that it's Kedai to be like them. Oh, they must be special. So we should be like them. However, only when the divine laws of morals have become the sole criterion as to the worth of the greatest and smallest of men. The criteria of greatness is not Starkeit, is not battle, is not fighting. But the criteria of greatness is divine laws of morals, is Menschlichkeit, is following a divine ethical system. Only then will the way of Amalek be destroyed. Only when the divine laws of morals have become the sole criterion as to the worth of the greatest and smallest of men, and no longer in inverse proportion, but in direct proportion to greatness and power, do the demands of morality grow. In other words, the more moral, the more powerful, not lehefach. Lehefach is Amalek. The more powerful, the less moral. But here, if there is a direct proportion between morality and power, and the greater and more powerful a person is, then the less any lapse of morality is excused. Then and only then will the reign of Amalek cease forever in the world. And this is the approach. So to extirpate a vestige of Amalek in the worldview of Rav Shashofal Hirshir is not so much to be taken literally, but Amalek is a force. Amalek represents power. Amalek represents a sword. Amalek represents the opposite of God's voice, of a divine moral voice, and it's that that has to be totally uprooted without any compromise whatsoever. Rav Moshe Avigdor Amiel in Droshos El Ami in number 13, Droshos El Ami, Rav Moshe Avigdor Amiel, this is in Chela Gimel, Amud Kuf Mem Gimel, Chela Gimel, Amud Kuf Mem Gimel, basically says the same thing. He has an essay, Rav Amiel. So Rav Amiel was the chief rabbi of Antwerp, and then in 1935, he became the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, and he lived a long, distinguished career as a leader of the religious Zionist community, and was one of the really great rabbis in Israel in the 20th century. So Rav Amiel published a series of Sforim. In Chela Gimel of Drasha Salami, he echoes the words of Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch. Ki beram hadavar, the famous pasuk, yitamu chatoi min haaretz ksiv, v'lo yitamu chotim. V'gam ba'amalek, in the third line, v'gam ba'amalek madgesh es ha-Torah bi'ikir es ha-zecher amalek. Masha osa ha-amalekus. Right, so that's my amalekhood. It becomes like a noun, amalekus, like the mahus of Amalek. It's not Amalek. It's Masha osa ha Amalekus lezecher lekultura leideal neetzal, for a lofty ideal, a ra'ayon iskav, for a sublime notion, the chachma ila'a, an exalted wisdom, that's ve'es zecher amalek ze mitzvah aleinu limchos. Another mitigating approach is based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, a famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, and it's also in Gittin, and we have a whole kina on Tisha B'Av that's associated with it, with the blood of Zechariah HaNavi that was boiling. And it was Zaradan came and he saw the blood boiling and he killed and killed and killed, and the old and the young, and he wanted to stop the blood, and finally he realized himself that he was just totally acting in a way that was just beyond any possible justification, and he steps back and he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, I'm going to stop on the condition that you stop the blood from boiling, so the blood stops boiling. And then the Gemara says that he goes and he becomes a ger, and his Mibnei Banav were teaching Torah Belishka Sagazas. So in the context of that Gemara, the Gemara says, and the line is underlined, it starts Tana Rabbanan in the second line, towards the end of the second line, Naaman ger toshav haya, etc., etc., Mibnei Banav shel Haman lamdu Torah b'bnei Brak. The Teinuk L'chav Haman were teaching Torah, were learning Torah in b'nei Brak. So the Rabbi Yosef Engel, on the next page in the Gilyani Ashas in Gittin, asks a stira, a contradiction between this Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Mechilta, the Rabbi Yishmael that we saw earlier. We saw earlier a Mechilta, the Rabbi Yishmael that says that you're not Mekabel Gerim from Amalek. So how could it be, if the halacha is that you're not Mekabel Gerim from Amalek, so how could it be Mibnei Banav Shel Haman Lamdu Torah B'Bnei Brak? So Rabbi Yosef Engel posits a very important yesod, which also to some extent mitigates the absolute extreme anti-Amalek harshness. So Rabbi Yosef Engel says in Pei, source number 15, Gilyani Ashas Gittin and Zayin Amid Beis, Rabbi Yosef Engel, so he quotes from the Heilige Tzadik Rav Shlomo Miradomsk. The Sefer Teferet Shlomo, Laharav Tzadik Rav Shlomo Miradomsk Zal Hiksha, the Hamavur Bepsikta, Piska de Zohar Esa Sherasa Lacha Amalek, the Emekavlam Gerim Mizera Amalek, Vimken Echme Bnei Bonav Shal Haman, Lamdu Torim Bim Bnei Brak. Zotrib Yosef Engel Vole Kosha Midi, the beginning of the line, two lines later. The Mashkachas Beisha Mizera Amalek, She Nises Laakum She'eno Mizera Amalek. What are we talking about? We're talking about a woman who comes from Amalek, who marries a Gentile who's not from Amalek, Vyolda Loben. So now what's the status of the son of that union? The status of the son of that union is not Amalek, because the son goes after the father. So when we're talking about Bnei Banav, he says at the last, next to last line, V'adar Bnei Banav lav dafka, doesn't mean it's not Ben Achar Ben, because Taka Ben Achar Ben would not be accepted. But somewhere there was a daughter, the daughter was somewhere in the line, the daughter got married to somebody else, as soon as the daughter gets married to somebody else and they have a child, so the kid is already Eis Amalek. So Mamela, it's Shayach that it's to have an Enochel, an Amalekite Enochel, who does find their way into the Jewish people. So don't think that it's Mamish entirely, totally reprehensible to the nth degree, but there's a way, given this scenario, that it's possible for somebody from Amalek to be part of Klal Yisrael. The last point that I want to make, that I want to leave you with, is a point that Rav Soloveitchik made over and over and over again. I would say, in writing, it's at least in four or five different places, and as more of the works of the Rav become published, so more and more and more it's going to be published. But he said it many times, and it's Bechsav as well. And that's something that he heard from his father, and it's based on a Rambam in Ilchus Malachim. And this is the final thought that I want to share with you, and I will share with you also, and that's the extra sheet that I handed around. The extra sheet that I handed around this morning is a very sharp, sharply worded critique of Rabbi Soloveitchik's position by Rav Nachum Rabinovich. Rav Nachum Rabinovich in Ma'alei Adumim has a sefer, and in his sefer there's two pages, I Xerox back to back, and a very sharply worded criticism of this position of Rabbi Soloveitchik. So you shouldn't think that it's a nimnu v'gamru, that it's fully accepted. It's actually quite controversial, but I want to leave you with this last thought. And it's based on a diyuk in the Rambam in Hilchas Melachim. So the Rambam says in source number 16, Mitzvah Saseh, you think you only have an issue when it comes to Amalek, there's also another issue, another mitzvah that seems to be somewhat problematic, and that is Lahachrim Shiva Amimim. Shenemar Hacharein Tacharime. The Kol Shabbat Yodo Echad Mehem Velo Hargo. If you happen to come across, you're walking down Amsterdam Avenue, you come across a Girgashi or a Chivi, Shalom Aleichem, what are you? I'm a Girgashi. Oh, you're a Girgashi. That's it. You're out of here. Finished. It's a mitzvah. Kol Shabbat Yodo Echad Mehem Velo Hargo. Oyver Velo Sase. Shenemar Lesachay Chol Moshe. However, fret not. You'll never find a Girgashi walking on Amsterdam Avenue. Because the Rambam says, Ukvar Avad Zichram, they're gone. They are gone. What's Pshat Kvar Avad Zichram? What happened to the Chivi Yevusi, Yigashi, Chiti, and so on? Prezi. So the Radbaz says on the top left, the Heliger Radbaz, Umashia Kasav Ukvar Avad Zichram, Lefisha Basan Cherev, Ubilbel Es Ha'olam. So that's a mission in Yodayim that I xeroxed the number 17. So the Mishnah Zakt in Yadayim that there was a machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua whether a ger amoni could enter into the Jewish people. Bo bayom, bo Yehuda ger amoni va'amad lifneim bebeis hamedrash, amar lahem mo ani lovo bekohol. So amar le Rabbi Gamliel aser, amar le Rabbi Yeshua muter. Right, these two, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, have been at it like forever. And there's so many different cases and sometimes Rabbi Gamliel really exercises a tremendous amount of power over Rabbi Yeshua. It's a lebedik in their machlekesim. So Rabbi Gamliel says, Aser, Rabbi Yeshua says, Mutter. Rabbi Gamliel says, what are you talking about? It says, Lo yava amonu mo'avi b'kal Hashem, ador asiri. How can you say it's Mutter? Amalei Rabbi Yeshua, v'chi amonu mo'avim b'mkoman heim. You think we know, is there a clear-cut, indisputable ethnic identity today of amoni and mo'avi? There is no clear ethnic designation anymore. It's all mishkabibbled. It's all. Everything is all swallowed up. It's all mixed up. So therefore, Bilbel, he holds he's an Ammoni. How do I know he's an Ammoni? I don't know he's an Ammoni. If I attack knew he was an Ammoni, so there's an Isser, you can't take an Ammoni. But if once it's Mavobel, so it's Mavobel. So he has a Mesorah, but who says that Mesorah is justified? So the Radbaz tushtels the Mishnah in Yodayim to explain the Rambam by Shiva Amimim Ukvar Avad Zichron. V'chein mitzvah saseh la'abed zecher amalek shenemar timcha zecher amalek u'mitzvah saseh lizkor tomid ma'asov hara'im v'arevoso kedei la'orer evoso. We want to remember how he ambushed us in order to be ma'or hatred. Shenemar zachar es asher osu l'cha amalek. What's missing, Frederick Moshe Soloveitchik Zatzal, from the second Rambam that's found in the first Rambam? Ukvar Avad Zichram. So Rav Moshe is medayik that Ukvar Avad Zichram is not in the second Rambam, in the context of Amalek. Vushtei Kvar Avad Zichram. In the context of the Sheva Amamim, when it comes to Amalek, which means that it's not Avad Zichram. It's affecting the Kasha, why not? The same phenomenology that's relevant in the context of the Sheva Amamim, namely what? The mission in Yadayim, that Sancheriv came, Ubilbil is called Olam. So why is it not relevant to Amalek? It's relevant in the context of the mission in Yadayim, it's Amamimov. The Rambam Tzush tells it to the Sheva Amamim. So why is Amalek different factor mission? And for Reb Moshe, on the next page, this is in Kol Dodi Dofeik. This is in the Fate and Destiny version of Kol Dodi Dofeik, page 65 and 66. The Rav says that anybody, famous position of Rabbi Soloveitchik, that in fact, Amalek is not an ethnic designation, but Amalek defines anybody who wants to destroy the Jewish people. Anybody who says, L'chu v'nachide migoy, v'lo yizach Hashem Yisrael oid, has a halacha of Amalek. So it's not ethnic. Ethnically, Takeina Chinami is Kvarav Adzichram, just like Ammon and Moab and the Sheva Amamim. Why does the Rambam, however, not say Kvarav Adzichram by the mitzvah Sasei of Amalek? Because Amalek is not a tribe. Amalek is an ideology. Amalek is a way of thinking. So he has it on page 65 and 66 in note 18, in source 18, and in source 19, Azirach, the footnote, from page 92 to 95. This is the footnote of Kol Dov Vidov Fake, page 92 to 95, where the Rav quotes both Rambams. He asks the steer and the Rambam. He quotes Rav Moshe, and he says that it's a halacha in Amalek. For the Rav, Amalek and his father is not a nation, but a notion. It's not a nation, but a notion. It's not a people, but it's a pattern. It's not an am, it's an attitude. It's not a tribe, but it's a concept. And as I said, Rabbi Rabinovich, you look on your own, sharp, very, very sharp critique of Rav Soloveitchik's position. I want to end with a machlekes to Magen Avraham, the Trumas Hadeshim. I'm ending at 10:20, Rabbi Vlach. That's what I was told, so I have 6 more minutes. Okay? No, I don't want Chas V'Sholem to ganva from your... So I'm going to end with a machlekes to Magen Avraham, the Trumas Hadeshim, on the last page. So the Trumas Hadeshim says something that should be familiar for you, based on the Siv Zion that we saw in the Shulchan Aruch at the beginning. So the Trumas Hadeshim, who is the Trumas Hadeshim? What did I tell you last time? His mother didn't say, Trumas Hadeshim, come here, Trumas Hadeshim. What was his name? The Trumas Hadeshim? He wasn't born the Trumas Hadeshim, he became the Trumas Hadeshim. Yeah. Okay. Zach, the Trumas Hadeshim, homework. Rabbi Yisrael Isserlein. Rabbi Yisrael Isserlein, when did he live? The Trumas Hadeshim. Lived in the 15th century, lived in Austria, he lived in Ashkenaz in the 15th, he was part of that Tkufat Ma'avar, he was part of the transition in Ashkenazi culture from the Balei HaTosfos who lived in Germany, and then the Ramah who lived in Poland. When Jews were expelled from Western Europe to Eastern Europe, they were expelled from Germany in the course of the 15th century, but as Jews were moving, there was still a very strong series of generations of leaders of Gedolei Yisrael who kept the Mesorah going. And with the transition from the Balei HaTosfos, from the Maharami Rutenberg, who was still in Germany, to the Ramah, who already was the second or third generation of Jews living in Poland. So the Trumas Hadeshim, the Maharil, the Rabbi Yaakov Weil, Rabbi Yisrael Bruna, these are all people in this middle period who played an extremely important role in ensuring the viability of the Mesorah of Ashkenaz to transfer it over to Poland. Zot ha'elik ha'chumas ha'deshin, sh'eluch kufches. B'nei ha'yishuvim she'en lohem minyan bi'ir, u'retzonim lalaches ala ki'ilos asmuchos lehem l'yimei ha'purim kedei l'shmo ha'mikro megillah b'tzibur, tzrichen li'zor she'yakdimam b'yasam gam l'shabes parshas zochah shu samach l'purim olo. Interesting question. Here again, we're talking about the people in the Derfaluch who don't have a minyan. So they live all year round without a minyan. Now it's Purim. So Purim, they want to go. They want to hear the Megillah. They want to go to the big city to hear the Megillah. So the Shaila is, do they also have to go on the Shabbos before Purim in order to hear Parsha Zachar? That's the Shaila. And for the Trumas Hadeshim, on the contrary, it's more important for them to go to Parsha Zachar than it is to go on Purim. Why did they have to go to the big city on Purim to hear the Megillah? Megillah doesn't need a minyan. Megillah is not a davar shebekdusha, right? You go to the hospital, nebuch, somebody's in the hospital, somebody comes, reads the Megillah to them. You go to somebody sick at home, somebody comes, reads the Megillah for them. Megillah doesn't need a minyan. So for Megillah, you don't have to go. So on Purim, you don't have to go. Adarabah, when do you taka have to go? Zot the Trumas Hadeshim? You taka have to go on the Shabbos before Purim. Because Kriyas HaTorah is a davar shebekdusha, and you have to be Mekai and Parshas Zachar, so you should go to the Shabbos before Purim. And it's on the basis of the Trumas Hadeshim that the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, as we saw at the beginning, full circle, that Yesh Omer Mitziv Zayin, that it's a Doraisa, Lefichach, B'nei Ayishuvim, Shein Lo Minyan, should make sure that they go to the big city to be Mekayim Parsha Zohar with a Minyan. The Magen Avraham disagrees with the Trumas Hadeshim. So go back to the first page. Go back to the first source. Full circle now. Zok the Helig Magen Avram. He quotes the Trumas Hadeshen at the end of the second line. U beis tof hey simen kuf ches. U beis tof hey u be Trumas Hadeshen simen kuf ches kasev. He quotes the Trumas Hadeshen that you really should better go to shul and v'lim nira liyashiv in the second finger. In the second Halige finger in the Halige Magen Avram, the beginning of the line, V'lim nira liyashev min haga'ola. The Magen Avram says, no, I'll explain to you why people go on Purim. The shaila of the Trumas Hadeshen at ungenumen bepashtus that I'm going to go for Purim, and the shaila is, do I also have to go the Shabbos before Purim? So he turned around and stood around its head and say, no, don't go Purim. Only go the Shabbos before Purim. But the Minhag HaOlam, the simple point of departure is that we would also go, or we would certainly go on Purim. So the Magen Avraham wants to be Miyashiv, V'linir Aliyashiv Minhag HaOlam. Da'atu Miksiv B'Torah She'yikra'u Dafka B'Shabbos Zeh. There's no halacha to be Mekayim Dafka on the Shabbos before Purim. Elo She'chachamim Tiknu B'Shabbosu Ho'al U'shchicha Rabban B'Beis HaKnesses. And as we saw 40 minutes ago, the Samach Lepurim, Kedei Lismach Masa Amolek L'maysa Hamek Meshikasev Olavush. V'im Kain, the Magen Avraham says, I'll solve your problem for you. And it's quite a chap. What's the problem? Go on Purim, and you take care of both obligations. Because after all, what do we do on Purim? The Megillah is not the only thing we read. What do we read on Purim? We read Vayev Amolek. We read the Parsha of Amolek. So be Mekayim on Purim itself. Not only Mikra Megillah, you want to go, that's wonderful. You're worried about Maisa Amalek, so you'll take care of Amalek also on Purim morning. Namely, with the Kriyas Torah from Bishalach, you'll be Mekayim the Mitzvah. Then Kenke Shomea Bepurim, Parshas Vayavu Amalek, Nami Zeicha Maisa Amalek. V'yetzi Yudei Chavosu V'chenu Bereim, everybody's happy. You go on Purim, you don't have to schlep back and forth, you don't have to give up going on Purim. No, the minute item is to go on Purim, so go on Purim. You're worried about the Kiyam Daraisa Parshas Zachar, you'll be Mekayim, Zotam Magen Avram, against the Trumas Hadeshen. You're Mekayim, Parshas Zachar, Midaraisa, by the minion that you're going to hear the Kriya Sator of Yavama. Zot the Helig Mishnah Brura, that the Magen Avram's wrong. Now go back to the last source, and now I'm finished. The Mishnah Berurah, the head of the Mishnah Berurah, quotes the Machlokes Trumas Hadeshen and the Magen Avraham on the last page. Where are we? On the last page. We're in source number 21. So, V'hineh B'Trumas Hadeshen, like 5-6 lines from the bottom of the right-hand column, Kasav, he quotes the Trumas Hadeshen. And 3 lines from the bottom of the right-hand side, Avla Magen Avraham Mitzadeid, no, the Magen Avraham disagrees. Avo, third line, left column, Lanias Daiti, Nira, Iker, Dino, Shalom, Magen Avram, Tzarchi. The Mishnah Berurah says as follows, and I leave you with this thought. The Mishnah Berurah says that the Magen Avram is Tzarchian, because according to the Mishnah Berurah, you cannot be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek with the parsha of Vayavo Amalek. You can only be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek with the parsha of Parsha Zachar and Kisaitse. Why? Because what's the difference between Vayavo Amalek and Parshas Kisaitze? The Emcha and the Timcha. The Emcha and the Timcha. The Parshas Vayavo Amalek, who's acting, who's engaged, who's requiring, who's doing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the Parsha of Zachar Esa Shoasal Amalek, Kimacho Timcha Zecha Amalek. Zot the Helig Mishnah Berurah. You want to be Mekayim the Mitzvah? You have to read a Parsha that empowers you, that's Mechayiv you. You have to do it. That parsha. You could listen to Vayava Amalek von Heimpes Morgen, and you're not Mekayim the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, because there God is the actor. And when we are faced with such a mitzvah, we have to be the actor. And therefore he says that you can only be Mekayim with Vayava Amalek, with Zacharei Sasher Rasul Lecho Amalek, not with Vayava Amalek. So the chap of the Magen Avraham falls away. So Mamela Megablubim with the psak of the Trumas Hadeshen, that if you have a choice, the Trumas Hadeshen says, you should take a go for the Shabbos before, when you hear full-throated, Ki Macho Timche Es Zecher Amalek, and that's your obligation. When we're faced with mitzvahs that we have to do, then we read a parsha that's mechayev us to do it. We should be Zecher to have a Freilich and Purim, and whatever is supposed to happen to Amalek, whatever Amalek is, and whatever the definition is, this mitzvah should be fulfilled in its fullness and its entirety.